what this love, how this love is going to affect your individual lives, what it is designed to do as far as our lives are concerned in day in and day out living. Okay, it's been a while, so let's pick up very quickly where we are. We are in the midst of looking at the impact or the effect of spiritual love. If you've been here any time, you know that word means it comes from the concept of understanding spiritual love as a spiritual force. As a spiritual force, it has magnitude, it has direction, and it has impact or effect. We're looking at 16 effects or impacts of the force of spiritual love, taken from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're looking at the first one, long-suffering. The first thing we learn about spiritual love is that love suffers, which is rather a peculiar thing to come under the understanding of love. But, by the way, this is why many people today in our society avoid falling in love and avoid marrying and avoid getting in a relationship, as they want to avoid the suffering. That's not the solution. Running away from life and getting into some kind of a monastery, even if it's a self-built monastery, is not the solution. This is what people have often done throughout church history. They want to get so close to God and avoid all the influences of the world. And so we have the history in church history of monasteries. You go and you hide from life, and that's not the solution. This is why God gave us the indwelling and leading of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at long-suffering. We've defined it, we've looked at it, worked at it, and these types of things. Then we've taken a look at the things that will work against love, that will cause it, that demands that it be long-suffering, those things that keep beating against love. We studied 21 of them, by no means an exhaustive list, but enough to give us a practical, everyday understanding of the things that beat against our love. Primarily, the failure of others in life. How they sin against us, they disappoint us, they let us down. They do all the things that we know in the Bible you are not supposed to do. We are not supposed to lie to one another. We're not supposed to steal from one another. We're supposed to do this for one another. We're not supposed to do that to one another. And on and on and on. And most Christians know all the things that you're not supposed to do to one another. But what do we do if someone does those things against us? What does the Bible tell us to do when they do those things? Most Christians want to go to law. Since you've done that to me, I now have the right to go to law and do this to you and react and separate and judge, malign, and all of this. No, what the Bible tells us to do in this regard is to turn to spiritual love and to treat them in love. And this is what we're taking a look at. Once all of these things and these forces start beating against spiritual love inside of us, what does love do? And that's what we are, where we are right now. Long-suffering, in that sense, is the spiritual immune system of the spiritual life. It is the spiritual immune system of the spiritual life. And by that I mean the spiritual love, it builds an immune system around that protects your entire spiritual life. Spiritual life protects your soul. It protects your soul from reacting to when people hurt you and let you down and all the things that we do, that husbands do to wives do to husbands, children do to parents do to children, and friends do to each other, and family do to each other, friends do to each other, in work, in the local church, everywhere in life, namely when other Christians sin against us and hurt us and let us down. Spiritual love is that factor that is inside of us. Isn't it interesting that most people say that love is emotionalism, love is weak, love is sloppy, love has no teeth, it's righteousness and justice, it hasn't. But if we study Scripture, that is not true. If we look at Scripture, that which is really makes you strong is spiritual love. It is love that makes you strong. And that's what we're in the midst of looking at. Now, where do we have that righteousness is long-suffering? Love is long-suffering. People, that's something that's so powerful. But if we will allow His love to just give us this long-suffering element, and when people hurt us, that protects us when they do when they do hurt us. So you cannot have, for an example, certain any of them, not certain, but any mental any mental attitudes in, and at the same time have spiritual love. First John deals with that. You cannot hate, have bitterness toward another believer. Oh, but I love God. No, that's a lie. You're deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you. Spiritual love protects us in all of these ways and puts us into immune against those that hurt us. It protect our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, protect our relationship with God, and therefore protect us from bitterness and from all of these things that occur. Now what we're looking at, what is it about spiritual love? What we have also looked at is, what is it about spiritual love that allows it to do all of these things? What is it about spiritual love that causes it to do that? And those are the things we're looking at. What I want to start out tonight is Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 12. It's time now. We've dealt with what we might call building it up and studying it and getting it, but now it's time to go straight to the Scriptures and start looking at some of these things in action in your practical everyday life. People, this is where you and I live. Some of the passages that we're now ready to embark upon. And we're going to take a look at Proverbs. Proverbs! Oh, man, what a book. I'm still young, and I don't know, another 100 years, but, boy, Proverbs, if we ever get to that book, it's going to really test you, because it is a complicated, challenging book, and it has a lot of things that are not true, and it's there and tells you so. A lot of it is not the truth by human viewpoint, and we'll have to study that aspect, but there are things in here that are very true that we need to take aware of, and we're not here to study the book of Proverbs. We're here to take a proverbial truth that is true in the spiritual life. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but contrast, love covers all transgressions. Well, I think it's obvious to all of us that I can spend 6 months here. There is so much here, and it would be worth it as far as our daily life is concerned, at work and life itself, and getting into an in-depth study of what hate is. But I think if we just go through this, we can study it. Now, Proverbs is a great book to study. In seminary, we took up, I had a course called Poetic Literature, Historical Literature, which takes up things like 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, which covers history. Prophetic literature, they divide it up into all kinds of literature. Now, the advantage of that is, if you learn interpretation of different types of literature, what you're looking for, what you expect, because, for example, in poetic literature, you say in the Psalms, one of the most difficult things to do is identifying the personal pronouns, because they change, the subject changes so quickly in the Psalms. It just, he, it, they, boom, boom, and who are all of the characters? And a lot of people argue, is it referring to the Father? Is it referring to the Son? Is it referring to the Holy Spirit? Often. Is it referring to the writer? Is it referring, because it causes a great deal of problem. But let's just take, instead of looking at this, because it makes it very easy to study here, let's look what we're going to take here, and so we can make this rather quickly. We're going to put hate here. I'm going to deal with the English, with the analogy and understanding of the Hebrew. So we have hate, and what we're going to do is, let me draw a line here. We're going to have hate, and we're going to contrast it with love. Now, this love that we're talking about is spiritual love as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to have a verb. Let's draw a line like this. Now we're going to have a verb. And the verb here, hate, does something. When you have this mental attitude of hate in your soul, something happens. It stirs up, and that's very important. It stirs up. Now, let's see when it stirs up. Well, let's just take the whole sentence, and then we'll come to the verb. Hate stirs up strife. Okay. It stirs up strife. Okay. Here's what we're talking about. Something that goes on in your soul. Hate. Bitterness. Don't think of, I'll hate somebody, I'm very bitter. They're very close if we get along studying the Hebrew word. Just, anger, hate, resentment, strong resentment. And then we have, in contrast to that, love. Now, we come to the verb to stir up. It stirs it up. You ever... We don't do it too much. City people don't do it too much except in a fireplace. And I got rid of my fireplace and put in gas, so I don't even know about it from this aspect. But I do know if you want to stir up a fire. You go in there and you got the coals and everything's dying down. And it's just some of the underneath is still hot. So you go in there and you get your iron and you stir it up. And it get the fire, the little flame starts flickering out and all of this, and it starts to get that fire, the oxygen back into the fire. That oxygen breathes in life, and boy, now it's stirred up. So we've got a picture, a mental picture. Hebrew is beautiful. Greek is abstract. Greek is abstract. When you're reading Greek, thinking in Greek, you have to think abstract. Hebrew is concrete. Hebrew, the Hebrew doesn't think in terms of the abstract. If they want to talk about reconciliation, if they want to talk about expiation, if they want to talk about a lot of these big words that we could talk about in abstract concepts in the Greek, what the Hebrew does, they will bring an animal to an altar, cut its throat, you see the blood flowing everywhere, you take some of the blood and you go over here and you cover up this mercy seat and then the mercy seat of the sins, and boy, you can see it and you know what's happening. We don't do that in Greek. In Greek, we think in the abstract realm. This is very vivid. It stirs it up. Stirs up something in your soul. Stirs up something in your life. And it stirs up strife. Strife between people. It stirs up the disunity. It stirs up anger between people. Strife. Division. Disharmony. It's what hate does. Now, let's take a look at what we have coming up, though, because it's going to throw a curve on us. It's going to throw a curve on what we're going to see. I want you to know carefully what the Holy Spirit does here. The force of hate stirs up strife. But I want you to know what the Holy Spirit says of love. Poetically, we would expect the opposite for the flow of unity here. So what we would expect it to say, love stirs up or brings about unity. That's what we would expect in poetic parallelism, poetic contrast. We would expect strife, so we would expect unity. Love brings about unity. Not what it does. So if you're reading this in the Hebrew, you go, wait a minute, boom, out of line. Out of line, this isn't working. I don't know how many of you had a good literature professors in college or teachers in high school, but if you did, you learn how to read poetry. You learn how to read literature, especially poetry. You're reading along, and you learn to read. You learn meters, and you learn when something is. You're reading along, and sometimes a writer will break the meters just to stir your thinking. Oh, wait a minute. Boy, he did it wrong. That's not in metrical of what he's been doing. That's not in the metrical system that he's set up. And so he can do it that way. Or words. This isn't the words that I expected, or something like that. So something's out of line here, because it doesn't say hate stirs up strife, love brings about unity. I don't have a problem with that. That would be perfectly well. But look what it does. It doesn't say that. It doesn't go to the opposite. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. It says love covers all. In fact, I want to emphasize this. Love covers up. I want to deal with that emphasis of the Greek, of the Hebrew word. Love covers up all. And I'm just going to put the word sin, transgressions. The Hebrew word translated transgressions is the strongest word for sin, so I'll come back to that. But let's just, before I even go through all of this with you, let's just talk about what we have on the board here. Because there is something close here. what hate does, it stirs up this flame. It's going to make this flame really big. So it stirs it up. This love covers it up. Cuts out that oxygen. You cut out the oxygen, and I'm using the fire, burning the fire for my example here. You cut out the oxygen, cut out that flame. You can't stir it up because it's covered up. If I want that flame to go, I've got to take it out, stir it up, get that oxygen underneath it, and then get it some fuel. And boy, I can get that fire really going now. What's the hardest part? The barbecue. Getting it started. Not only the hardest part for someone like me, it's the dangerous part. I keep pushing that button on my little barbecue thing, and that thing doesn't work. And I get a little frightened now after about 3 or 4 times because I know that propane's going out there. I hear these stories where people blow up their house and blow up their face and blow up everything. And that's when I decide to go in and nuke it and forget it. All right? So you got to stir it up to get it going. Or you cover it. These words really are in parallel. They really are. So it doesn't seem like it because we would expect unity here. Now, we're going to take a look. Hate stirs this up. Strife, but love covers up. Covers up. Stirs up, covers up. I want to talk about all in a minute. Sin, strife. Okay. So, let's take a look now. What does hate do? This is what hate does. Hate is going to stir these things up. Hatred of another believer. Hate of another believer because of what that believer has done. And I'm going to stay with the believer because spiritual love is a command to love one another. We're talking about hate of one another. Hate of another believer. John in 1 John, nearly the great whole flow of that epistle after you get past the sins of chapter 1 and get into the heart of what that book is about. But that letter is about love. It talks about hate. Hate of one another. And so this is it flows all the way through the Bible. Oh, wait a minute. If it flows all the way through the Bible, shouldn't we see it at the very beginning? And don't we? What happened with Cain and Abel? He hated him and he killed him. When I do that for you, I always take you back there because there's just some fruits that are so profound, they flow all the way through the Bible. And I don't care, y'all look so nice here tonight, and we're not fooled about each other. Every one of us is subject to hate. Charging through our soul. Where every one of us we're human, we're flesh. You can sit there and deny it all you want. You're not going to deny it to me, and don't deny it to God. You're deceiving yourself. We are all subject to a charge of hate coming through. It's fundamental to the flesh nature. It's fundamental to the rebellious one, Satan. We're all subject to it, and if you will accept that about yourself, because it's fundamental to our nature, Genesis chapter 1 through 4, you just understand those things. Boom. And it flows all the way through the Bible. Because it's fundamental to every one of us. That's something that can charge through. And boy, we may want to deny it. Man, I don't hate my husband. I don't hate my wife. I don't hate my parents, my children, my friends, my this, my that. Yes, I did. Boom, it came through. But God, I hate that. I hate that I hate. Because it's there. And I don't want it there. That's okay. That's cool. That's when 1 John comes in. That's when a true application of 1 John. Don't deny it. Don't deny that it came through. Oh, I don't like it either. There are thoughts that charge through our mind. I don't like them. But don't deny them. Don't be afraid of them. Your flesh. We want to deal with them. We want to know how to deal with them. If you just deny them and squash them down, they become a baggage in your soul. And they get down and you keep denying and pushing it down. It gets down there where it turns into rot. And the rot is really hard to get rid of. Better to deal with it immediately. Okay. Now, this hate comes in. Yes?
When you're controlled by the Spirit, that doesn't mean that evil thoughts can't come in.
That's exactly right. That's how we get out.
But that doesn't mean that we're controlled by those evil thoughts.
No.
Or want to pursue
no. You, that's why you go back to faith. And that's why we want to be honest with ourselves. I do hate them. Yeah. It did come through.
But the fact that you're thinking it, that you might do it, doesn't mean that you did it.
No, but I'm saying if that hate came through there, if that hate shot through my soul, and that, man, oh no, I'm not even where I want to be. I want to be here. I want to be here. So that we recognize that we're here. This is where true application of our study on Wednesday night of 1 John 1:9 comes in. Don't deny it. Don't hide it. Don't deny it. I did. I don't want that. But let me show you what happens if we keep it. It starts stirring up. So if hate is something fundamental, all I want to do, and I spent too much time in showing you, I don't want this type of passage to drift away from you in your daily life. This is a fundamental problem with all of us. Somebody has disappointed us. How can this hate come up? How can the problem? See, you're going along, everything's good in the marriage, in the work, in the church, in the friendship. Everything's going along good. Boom, 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 fulfilling its mission, its purpose, and God's plan. And then all of a sudden, pow, something happens. What happens? Disappointment, sin, whatever it is. Yeah, by the other person. Not by you, because you're too good. Okay, but by the other person. The other person does this. See? There's a disagreement, maybe. Even just a disagreement. Disappointment. You want to control, or whatever it is. And now what happens? Well, what happens now is hate comes in. Anger starts coming in. And starts building up inside of our soul, disharmony. And then what starts to happen is hate stirs up, and it stirs up strife. Strife, first of all, in your own soul, and then strife in this relationship, people. Please hear what I just said. First of all, it stirs this up in your own soul. And then it stirs it up in the relationship overtly in your life. Remember what we're studying about love. First of all, love creates. The underside is inside my soul. It's invisible. Things happen here, and then there's an outside. Love is long-suffering. What are we going to study next? Love is kind, the outward expression, what the world can see. The world can't see long-suffering. The world can only see the result of long-suffering. Long-suffering, something happens inside your soul. This is in your soul. And starts stirring up strife in your soul. Now you're disoriented. Your whole spiritual life is disoriented. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God controlling, God's going to take care of everything, and trusting God, living it with God, that's all gone. Because you've now had it stirring up in that coal inside your soul.
Now, you know, it's like, when something happens, then you immediately, you know, you just want to kill.
Yeah.
You just want to hop on it in the flesh.
Wow.
And it's like, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's just go for it.
But the Holy Spirit's in there, and he's always doing his stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And with myself, you know, it's like, I feel like I always want to say, God, you sent me
through
this in the class, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back! I'll be right back, God! Now, when I come back, he'll be dead over there! I'll be right back! There'll be blood on my head, but I'll be right back! And that's exactly it.
That's
exactly it. And the more you let this thing stir up inside of you, it just can eat away, eat away, eat away. Until finally, it starts becoming something that's overt. Now, I would have expected unity here, but I don't find unity. I don't find unity. But what I do find is the heart of this unity that's going to bring about unity. So we want to see what the Holy Spirit is really doing. What it says, what the Holy Spirit does not say is that love stirs unity. Our love brings about unity. Doesn't say that. What the Holy Spirit does say is that love covers all transgressions. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is comforting, consoling. Love never fails. Love covers all transgressions. Every word in our phrase is essential, people, to your life. It's essential to every day of your life. Love covers all transgressions. what quality of love, and the quality of love is spiritual love that comes by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. There's love that comes only to a believer in Christ and him that is walking by the Holy Spirit. Love that models after and it comes after divine love. Let's take a look at the word to cover. It is a beautiful word. The word is kata in the Hebrew. The word means, if I wrote it on a board, it wouldn't impress you. Once in a while I will if there's something to be gained by it. But let's just talk about what the word means. It means to cover. Let me tell you what it means if you're not going to like. So I opened up a lexicon for you right at the very beginning of a Hebrew lexicon. What you have in Hebrew lexicon is you have your Hebrew word, and then you have a couple of basic understandings of that word. And then what it'll do, it'll go down and tell you if it's in the PL, it's translated this way. If it's in the Missal, it's translated this way. If it's passive, it's translated that way. By example, if this were passive, it would be covered. Something that's covered would be passive. It receives covering. That type of thing. Okay. Right at the top, you're not going to like what it says. Americans hate what it says. Christians hate what it says. It says to conceal it, hide it. What it says? It conceals. Oh, we don't want to conceal what the president's doing. We don't want to conceal what that believer's doing. We want it out there on the front page of the paper. We want it uncovered. We want to start up. People, I'm talking right where you and I live. How we justify stirring it up. Well, they just want to cover it up. He just wants to cover up what he's done while he's the president of the country. They just want to cover it up. They want to conceal. Scripture says that's what love will do. It'll conceal. I didn't write this. Love covers it up. Yes?
I'm just thinking of Old Testament because the scripture is written in Old Testament when the Lord was covering up our sins until the judgment of the cross.
Don't do that because I'm going to tell you in 1 Peter the same phrase. After the cross.
Okay.
Where do I get there?
But that might be the characteristic
of love. That's what it does. It covers it up. It conceals it.
Yeah. But it is taken care of on the cross.
Yes. Yes, it's taken care of. Yes. And that's one of the reasons why love will do this. Because it's already been taken care of. Why do I want to stir up what's already been taken care of at the cross? I mean, if we want to jump there now, I have no problem jumping to it right now. People, when you stir up another believer's sins, you don't believe in the cross work of Christ. Now, Christ really took care of this at the cross, but I want to make an issue of it. Do you believe what the cross said? Yeah, but. No buts. Either we believe what we claim we believe about the cross of Christ, or we don't. It's that simple. If we believe what happened on the cross, it should affect our lives. Not just make a nice sermon. Not something that sounds nice until you hurt me. Until you sin against me, now that's different though. This is different. It's one of the great phrases Christians like to use in the last 8 years of our presidency. This is different. I've got an excuse for not doing what Scripture says. I found a way out so that I can justify doing what I want to do in another person's life. So this is what love does. The word means to conceal. The word means to cover, conceal, hide. Now, what hate does, and by the way, what a lot of mental attitude sins do, what they do, what mental attitude sins do is right here. It stirs up. It stirs up the faults and failures of others. But let me tell you what it stirs up. It stirs up what it did to me inside. The English word fester. I just sit there and let it just steam, and just let it simmer in my soul and just build on it and build on it and build on it. A lot of you are married. Some of you are not married. If you go back to your days when you weren't married, you were dating, and she broke up with you if you're a guy, and you just have this idea, I mean, you sit at home and it all Yeah, yes, he's out with this guy. And he's always rich. He's got a car, red Corvette. He's always got this. He's always got that. And you can bring this up. Or he, if you're a woman, he's out now, boy. And he's not out with, you know, just some ordinary looking. No, man, he's out with this hot doll of the town. And we did it just builds and builds and we build hurt and anger and all of this in our soul. And all the while, it's not even true. Not even close to truth. But boy, do we let it build. And this is what happens here inside of our soul. It builds. But what hate stirs it up, love is going to cover it up. So it's going to just cover it up so that something's not going to happen, people. There's so much involved here, but when love does this, covers it up, it's protecting you first of all. Please get this in your soul. Love covers it up to protect you. Oh, I'm just going to get away with it. People, what we want to do first of all is protect ourselves. And this is what love will do. If you don't cover it up, you're going to stir it up inside of you, it being their sins and their failures. If you cover it up, it's just, okay. It's not in your soul. It's not gonna stir you up if you cover it up where you don't even, as it were, you don't even see it. You don't even see it. So this word has to do with the sins and failures of others, and it covers all of these things up. Let me give you some points here. One, this is very important. This is so important to your life. And you're dealing with one another, these things I'm getting ready to give you. They're simple, but they're profound. One, people, spiritual love does not forgive. Spiritual love does not forgive. Now, love is related to forgiveness. We could take a long journey where this word comes pretty close to looking like it's related to forgiveness, and there is a close relationship to forgiveness. But if we take forgiveness in the final analysis, that's a privilege of God. But we are to forgive one another. So in that sense, we're looking at what does it mean to forgive one another? How do we deal with this forgiveness of one another? But true and final forgiveness is a work of God. And don't think that love does that. But another thing, and very important, as we saw this in our study of 1 John, extremely important. Secondly, spiritual love does not cleanse sin or transgressions. Spiritual love does not cleanse sins or transgressions. In fact, I can make that even more profound for you. Forgiveness doesn't cleanse. Cleansing is another act. One of the big problems in people's relationship with one another, let's take a wife married to a man who drinks or has, whatever his problem is, I would like to forgive him, but he's going to do it again. I would really like to forgive, but he's going to do it again. People, forgiveness has nothing to do with cleansing. We cannot cleanse. Only God can do that. That's why in 1 John it says he has already forgiven and cleansed. There are two different words. There are two different things that God does. It hurts man that we can't cleanse. That really bothers us in our soul. I'd really like to forgive them, but I know they're going to do it again. And then what do we want to do as Christians? I'm talking about the Christian camp only here. I expect it from the world. Send them to a counselor, a psychiatrist, psychologist. Let him get down in there and reprogram them and change them. People, that's the work of God to cleanse, if we believe that or not. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to get in there and cleanse. We want to do it, though. We are so aggravated that we cannot do that. And we have come to the point where we think we can. We can just get in there and we can reprogram through psychoanalysis, through all of these kinds of things, and do that. C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful little small book, document or essay, on capital punishment. It's an excellent view. I don't think somebody on death row will like it, but it's an excellent view. And that is the real dignity of capital punishment. It's a little twist, and I'll throw it out for you and think about it. He says that it is not dignity of a human being to go in and reprogram them, psychoanalyze, psychology, all of that stuff, go in and do all of that to a human being. It is a respect for a human being. You have committed a capital offense. As a human being, you must deal with the punishment of that capital offense, and that's capital punishment. But to take somebody and say, we're going to take you in now, and we're going to reprogram you, that is not treating anyone with human dignity. That is not treating anyone with human dignity. And that's close to what I'm saying here. People you cannot cleanse. And love covering all sins and all transgressions has nothing to do with cleansing. Nothing to do with it at all. Forgiveness has nothing to do with cleansing. You forgive someone has nothing to do with cleansing them. If you truly forgive in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in the manner in which we forgive one another, people, you do not cleanse them. It has nothing to do with whether they'll ever do it again. And it's not based on whether they'll do it. Forgiveness is never based on the future. Forgiveness is a word that deals with the past. It has nothing to do with the future. I will forgive you if you won't ever do it again. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the past, only with the future. It has nothing to do with the future, only with the past. So, it's very important. Spiritual love does not forgive. Spiritual love does not cleanse. And three, spiritual love does not condone. Spiritual love does not condone. People, that would pollute spiritual love. We'll study that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It does not condone unrighteousness. It does not condone transgression. It does not condone sin. Now, before I go any further, let's go to the point four. Love does see the wrong. Love is not blind. Love does see the injury, the sin, and knows that it is a sin, knows that it is unrighteousness, knows that it is wrong, knows all of those things. Love is not blind or stupid or weak. Love knows all of those things. Love knows it's a wrong, but spiritual love simply will not allow the sin or the transgression to disrupt its own harmony, its own purpose, its own mission. My relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, is more important than your sin. Therefore, I will cover it up. My relationship with Christ is more important. My relationship with you and the plan of God is more important. Our marriage is more important. The mission, the purpose of our marriage, of our family, of our friendship, of our church, of our work is more important. People, it knows the wrong. It knows the sin. Well, if I do all of this, if I cover it up, then I'm just condoning it. No, you're not. I know people that really, they take great pride in separating, take great pride in stirring up strife, stirring up division, doing all of these things, letting everyone know because they want to keep their purity. And if I deal with that person, then if I cover up their sins, if I do all of this, then I'm participating in their sins and God's going to get me. No. That's why in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, what does it say? It says to lift up another person's burdens that are caused by sin. Well, if I go over there and help that believer with the burden that has been caused by their sin, I'll be identified with their sin and people think I'm horrible and I've got to remain pure, keep my hands pure. People, this is what's so important. If we had time, I'd take you to passages. Because this is one of Satan's biggest claims in the whole thing of Job, Job chapter 4 and many other places in Scripture. Is that here is man, and we'll just say, polluted with sin. Here is God in the purity and holiness of righteousness and justice, the holiness of God. And he says, if he comes down here, he's going to be polluted. If he comes down here to save man, he's going to pollute himself. And therefore, if he pollutes himself, he's no longer God, so he can't do that. So he does two things. Number one, he gets us to believe that we can raise ourselves up just above this line a little bit so that God can come down now and save us without polluting himself. And this is what we call works and doing for God and rituals and all the work system. You've got to do your part. You've got to bring yourself just up to it and just a little bit of that line so that when God comes down, He doesn't get dirty. Oh, people, if you can only understand the love of God, He came all the way down and took our sins upon Himself at the cross. He polluted Himself, if that's the way you want to think. And what was the result of Him doing that? Our redemption and our salvation and our righteousness. Our righteousness. So when you're afraid to get your hands dirty, you can understand what love does. He got down and washed the manure off of the disciples' feet that picked up on the street and the dirt that picked up on the street by the wall. And when you do that, you've got to get your hands dirty when you wash somebody's feet. He didn't have plastic gloves to protect him. He got down there with his hands and washed their feet. Did it make him impure? No. There's a great passage in Scripture. If something impure touches something, if something pure touches something impure, does it become impure? Does that which is touched become impure? There's a lot of study in there. It's a very important passage. So what we're looking at here is something that what we've got to understand is what happens when I do cover it up. Am I condoning? No, you're not condoning people. Love does not forgive. Love does not cleanse. Love does not condone. Love knows the wrong. Love sees the wrong. Love understands. Love does not rejoice in the wrong. But I want you to understand something. It doesn't say that love walks away from it. Love does. It doesn't say that in 1 Corinthians 13. It says love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices in truth. It doesn't say, therefore judge, it's going to judge and slam dunk and all the rest of it. No, it knows. Love knows. People, stay with me. That's why it's long-suffering. Because it does know sin and transgression and wrong. That's why it's long-suffering. If it didn't, it wouldn't suffer, would it? If it didn't care, it wouldn't be long. It wouldn't have to be long-suffering. Who has to be long-suffering if I don't recognize something is wrong? No parent has to be long-suffering if everything their kid does, nothing's wrong. No, I recognize the wrong. It recognizes the wrong. That's why it's called long-suffering. And yet it's going to cover it up. And six, or five, excuse me, point five, spiritual love simply does not allow the sins, the transgressions, the failures of others to disrupt sin. Spiritual love does not allow the sins, transgressions, the failures of others to disrupt one's own spiritual momentum. My yoke is light. What spiritual love allows you to do is to participate, be involved with. My goodness, what do you think our whole study of Hosea was about? The woman comes home from her lovers and gets in bed with Hosea. Is that truly Hosea? No. No. What we want to understand here is, people, if you allow the sins and failures of others to get you out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, now we've compounded our problem. We haven't done anything to cure it. If you're going to slam dunk them with law, if you're going to separate them, if you're going to do all of that, you're back to Galatians chapter 6, where it says, be careful. Only those who are spiritual health, lest you yourself be taken. And what? Their kind of sin? No, remember, that ain't what he's talking about. He's going back to the law. And start slam dunking them with law and judging them and all of that kind of activity. No, you don't do that, people. You don't allow someone else's sins to get you separated from God. This is what love will do. It will protect you. Oh, we'll be able to see this again when we come to two things about love. On the one hand, love is not jealous. Where's jealousy? It's inside. It's inside. Love won't allow it to disrupt. God, jealous, spiritual love will not allow when God, Satan, whatever, somebody else prospers. But let's just stay with God for a moment. Spiritual love allows God to bless or prosper others without it hurting your spiritual momentum. See, because that's what jealousy does. Jealousy, that's what God is doing with the God factor right now. God bless you, and it disrupts you. No, spiritual love won't do that. And then the opposite side, it doesn't boast either. So you have two types of effects going on here. Spiritual love is, what is hate? Let's talk about this just for a moment. Go back to this for a moment. Let's go back to just in our closing moments here. Remember what hate is. It's a sin. Okay, fine. Everybody gets an A because everybody said it's a sin. I want to go deeper than that, though. I want you to understand what's happening in your soul when that surge comes through. And boy, doesn't it come through like that. Bah! Bitterness and hate and anger just strike so fast. People, that's the immune system to your flesh. This is the immune system to your spiritual man. This protects your spiritual life. This is why I wanted to spend a couple of weeks, or about 3 or 4 weeks with you on the immune system, and everybody could come in. I was standing up here one night talking about the immune system to myself. So I figured, well, we really aced out on that one. I spent about 40 hours of work learning about the immune system, and nobody wanted to hear it. So, okay, I'm going to assume you understand at least the basic understandings of the immune system, but I had it all down to the T-cells and how they all work and how it all has spiritual analogy. Who cares? Just tell us and we'll move on. This is your immune system to your flesh. Anytime this comes through, nobody needs to tell you you're out of fellowship. This is your clue. This is the immune system of the flesh. Somebody's doing something against you. Boy, you got to protect yourself. Hey, what's jealousy? We're going to study jealousy. What's jealousy? It's the immune system to the flesh. It feels threatened. What's jealousy? I feel threatened. You are threatened. What's the immune system of our body? Your body is threatened. Something has come into some part of your body, through your nose, your mouth, whatever, and maybe a cut, and more turns out all those T-cells in that area because something is threatening the body. What is jealousy? And hey, something's threatening you. Something is threatening your life, your position, your control, who and what you are, and boy, the T-cells go. And one of the T-cells is hey. Another one's jealousy. So anytime those things come into you, I know you think of sin, but the first thing I want you to think of, I'm in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. Why? I'm not in the spirit. And what this is doing is protecting my flesh self. All of those kinds of things are just the immune, not just, but that's what I want to say, they're just the immune system for the flesh nature. I'm in the flesh, and they're going to work. They're good. These are good for the flesh. Because they're there to protect the flesh. They're bad for the flesh because they destroy. You ever heard of an immune system destroying its own person itself? Yeah. That's what these things do. They are there to protect the flesh and they're going to end up destroying the flesh. The very thing they're there to protect. So, you have hate, boom, I know I'm in the flesh. You have love, you know, you're in the spirit. People aren't going to understand this because they're in the flesh. You understand it and you're at peace with it. Just cover this up. Conceal it. Where are we going to conceal it? In the work of Christ on the cross. We're going to conceal it in what he's done. And now what happens if I conceal it? It isn't going to bother me. It isn't going to penetrate itself. It isn't just going to lie there those coals and start simmering. No, I'm going to cover it all up. Cut off the oxygen. Conceal it. Boom. I'm not going to allow it to go to this. So what we have happening here is going to be the opposite of that. That's why the Holy Spirit works it the way he did. Hate stirs up strife, stirs up strife. Love covers up all. See, close with the word all. Does it mean all? The Holy Spirit really didn't mean to put that word in? And that is in the Hebrew. Does the Holy Spirit just kind of goof there? It means all little ones. That's what it really meant. All little transgressions. All insignificant sins. It doesn't mean all. Yet the word for transgressions, the strongest word. The strongest Hebrew word for sins. All kinds. Can it really mean that? Can it mean adultery in a marriage? Can it really mean that? Can it really mean how you really hurt me in life? Can it really, can it being Scripture, it being the Holy Spirit, can he really mean that love covers up all sins, all transgressions? Is this love that powerful? Yes. Is this love that magnificent? Yes. This is why people, I'm trying to get through, this is the greatest thing that God has given to us. It's something that makes us strong. We studied that. This is what gives you strength in your life. I used to teach that love was weak and sloppy, and love didn't have the norms and standards, and righteousness and justice. No, it's love, people. God is love. Now, did he take them all at the cross? Does the word all fit for you at the cross? Does it? I mean, I'll tell you this. Does the word all cover your thing at the cross? Then, people, it covers everything in our lives. That's what love can do. That's what love can do. It's become so important to what love will do in our lives. Why is it long suffering? Why is it long suffering? Because people, love covers up all transgressions, and it won't let them strike inside our souls and then in our lives and in our relationship with others. Why is it long suffering? Because it covers up all sins, like Christ's work on the cross does. We're studying it through tonight. Heavenly Father, Scripture makes it very clear and very declarative, Father, that God is love. And sometimes, Heavenly Father, we even wonder how you can deal with this. In a certain day, even in our own eyes, we fail. Other days, in our own eyes, we're pretty good. But every now and then, even we wonder about ourselves. But it's then, Father, that we come to grips with the magnificence of your essence. The wonder of who and what you are and what God is really like. How you can deal with this each day as you do. And through each day. And then to contemplate Heavenly Father, to start understanding that the same love that you are can actually flow through us. Now that's the real miracle. That's the real wonder. That the same love that you are, the exact same love, can flow through us. If we'll just allow your Spirit to pour in his fruit. And that by simple faith. Father, we thank you for showing us tonight to get a brief glimpse of what will happen in our human lives this year. But this year, this week, this day, hate seeps in when somebody hurts us and lets us down and sins against us. To experience, before leaving earth, the wonder of your love. Just experience it once in a while before leaving here. How magnificent your love is, and that it'll do in our soul. I pray, Father, that we will experience it and be so taken with it that we want to walk in the Spirit all the time. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.